Well, this is the second in our series of interviews with folks who are participating in the Good Food Festival coming up in Chicago from March 19th through the 21st. What would good food be like without farms? Well, we wouldn't have it, frankly. And I'm happy to have Rhea Carr on the phone with me. She is the sales manager for Mint Creek Farm. Good day to you, Rhea Carr.
Hi.
Let's talk about Mint Creek Farm. You guys are based in what I kind of know of as a hotbed of permaculture in the state, and that's Stell, Illinois. I assume it's not an accident that you're down that way.
Well, not as much as anything else is an accident, no. our location has ended up working out pretty well for us. We are not actually affiliated with
Midwest permaculture. Yeah.
But we are right by them, and that's smack in the middle of North Central Illinois. I call it the middle of nowhere. So that's where Mint Creek Farm is. We're 220 acres of certified organic prairie pastures. And we've been working on developing, growing our farm since I was about two. That's when it all started. It's my parents' farm. And they actually started it as a hobby. They were wanting to get back to the land, wanting to look at alternatives for conventional farming, chemical farming, which surrounds us in that area. You know, it's kind of one of those Midwest areas where it's corn and corn and corn and then some beans.
Yeah.
And some more corn. It's evolved a lot over the years. We sell around the Chicago area primarily and primarily directly to our customers, but we are lucky to work with co-ops and small grocers in addition to some smaller restaurants as well. So
let me just say, I think it's kind of interesting, though, that you say you're not connected to Midwest permaculture, but there you are in the same area as they are. And it that's just sort of an interesting coincidence, that because your missions are very, very similar, I would think.
We are also lucky to be close to the Greenhouse Bed and Breakfast. We partner with them for farm tours and dinners. They're just a huge support to our farm. And then we also partner with Kilgis Farmstead, which is over a little ways farther away, but also still close, in Fairbury, Illinois. They are a small family-run dairy. So, we have some great neighbors. We're also fairly close to, you probably have heard of, Genesis Growers. They're an organic vegetable farm. So there's more going on in the region than one might think, which is really exciting.
One of the things I want to ask you about is the Good Food Business Accelerator. What is that about, and why are you involved? Because, and the reason I ask that is, as you say, your parents put this farm together a while ago. This has been going on for several decades. And why is it you're now working with Family Farms Good Food Business Accelerator? What do you hope to get out of it?
Well, we were a part of the Good Food Fest, we have been, not every single year, but most years in some way or another. And like, for instance, this year, we're also a part of the CSA pavilion there, because our farm has a meat and dairy CSA. And then my dad, Harry, who's we call him Emeritus Farmer, he's spoken on some of the panels over the years, too, at the Good Food Fest. And he's the one that Jim called him up, and Jim Slama, that is, and just to see if he was interested in the Good Food Accelerator. So initially we were talking about specifically the lack of organic poultry processing in the area and trying to brainstorm on that. But, after applying and getting accepted to the Good Food Business Accelerator. And kind of looking at the business side of our farm, it became clear that there was resources that would help us focus on growing our farm and making it into more of a sustainable business, which is something that I think a lot of smaller farm businesses struggle with the business side of things. I mean, they think of themselves more as farmers oftentimes and less of business people. And it's often a passion of heart to start a small farm, a lot of work for little pay, with idealistic reasons behind it. So the business side of things can kind of go by the wayside pretty easily. But then that's not sustainable, is it? So I think that's really great that the Good Food group, the Family Farm, made a pivot and offered the Business Accelerator, because it not only have they had great presenters in it, people from all different sides of business there to talk to us about their experiences and educate us, but it's also connected us as small businesses, and we've really been able to learn and grow and help each other. And it's that great sense of community too, not just being in this alone. So I'm really excited and grateful for it, especially considering it's the first year of the Business Accelerator. Just really impressed by what we've gotten out of it.
Has that brought you closer to some of the businesses in Chicago? Has that helped you make connections?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of potential. I'm pretty intrigued to see if we might partner with some of the businesses in the accelerator, and we've started to talk a little bit about some things we might work together on. It's really brought home how fruitful it can be to focus on the financial sustainability of our business, because that's something that's constantly wearing on us. And
of course,
it's nice to have something that kind of forces there to be a spotlight on just making it all work.
And let's face it, farming's a tough business. It's a tough racket, as they say. But let me get to something else here. I'm going to surprise you a little bit here, because I went to your website and I found this. Let me play a little bit of it.
Organic pricing concerns. Still below chemotherapy. Pure but pompous, my mind starts to atrophy. Hay prices have doubled. What are we to feed? Without a bull, our cows won't breed. Lambs are popping, 30 of 500 so far. Feeding them through winter sure will be hard. I'm Harry Carr from Mint Creek Farm, located in Stell, Illinois, about an hour and a half south of Chicago. We started with 50 acres and 10 head of sheep, and now we have sheep and goats, cows and pigs, chickens and ducks, raised turkeys for Thanksgiving. We're grazing probably somewhere close to 1,000 head on pasture, and we raise these for meat, sell the meat in farmers markets and stores in Chicago. Then we had no rain. The wind did blow.
So I'm going to stop it there. That is your dad, Harry Carr. Is that him?
Yes.
Okay. The farmer poet. That's pretty interesting. And I imagine not many farms have a farmer poet on board.
Yeah. We are a pretty special farm to have a farmer poet on board.
the point I want to make, though, is, okay, at Mint Creek Farm, you raise premium grass-fed meats, and you graze your livestock on certified organic pasture. You have grass-fed lamb, grass-fed beef, pastured pork, pasture-raised goat. And yet, here you got this guy who's very philosophical about all this. And, you know, I was looking at the video, and you can see the animals, the livestock running through the grass and out there in nature. There's what I'm bringing up is this dichotomy, I guess, between the pastoral aspect of it and the fact that it's a meat-producing farm. And I bet you get that stirs a lot of controversy among your vegan friends.
Yeah, it does come up in conversation. And it's something that my perspective on has really begun a long time ago and evolved slowly over the years. You know, I mean, as a little kid, I was there working on the farm, taking care of some of the lambs that needed extra attention and the goats. And I'd get really attached to them because they were like my little babies. They were my bottle-fed ones because, you know, some of them, their mom doesn't have enough milk or, for whatever reason, can't take care of them. So, and they would follow me around. They you know my voice. So that's like the extreme of being attached to the animals that are also the meat that we eat. So you can see how I'd end up thinking a lot about eating meat and whether or not it was something I wanted to do, having that where it came from and how it originates be so in my face. And I think about it in terms of the quality of life the animals get. They eat all organic. How many people can say they eat only organic food, first of all?
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
They're also let to be kind of wild out on the pastures. They have big expanses to roam and play on, and they have really great lives. So I feel really good about raising domesticated livestock for meat because I'm seeing they're happy, and we slaughter using the most humane methods. It's very quick, and it's just like that's common to human and animal death is.
And I guess you reconcile yourself to that at some point. You begin to understand how that works. And
it's the circle of life, and I think it's a great gift to be able to eat meat that is humanely raised for in good conditions, and it's highly nutritious. That's really a big part of my life and something I'm very grateful for.
We're talking to Rhea Carr from Mint Creek Farm. The website, by the way, is mintcreekfarm.com. You know, someday I'm going to have this conversation on this show and get more than one person. We'll sit around and discuss that whole vegetarian versus vegan versus humane meat production. Jody Osmond from Cedar Valley Farm has been on the show. We've talked about that before, and it's a real interesting question. And I think that it's important what you guys are doing because it is done humanely. And it's not the whole factory farm thing.
No, not at all. Actually, if you don't mind, there's something that's pretty distinct about our farm and how we look at farming that I think fits into your question, of how meat can be, a positive thing. And for us, like in raising animals for meat, we think of the farm as an ecosystem. We think of it in ecological terms. So as far as its environmental effects, we're looking at how to enrich the ecosystem, the soil, the quality of the air through our farming methods. We're not just trying to gain something we can then turn into a product, a commodity, and sell. We're trying to look at the ecosystem as a whole being sustainable and fruitful. And that more concretely is translated in raising biodiverse plants and animals. So instead of just doing one kind of animal, we do a bunch of kinds because they can be symbiotic in how they relate to the pastures. And same thing with our perennials in the pastures. There's a lot of different varieties of plants because they work well together. And then we also have sections of the land that are set aside just for wild, like birds and other creatures. So we're pretty holistic and trying to look at the big picture and the long run of having really sustainable, healthy food.
And you're part of day two of the Good Food Festival and Conference at the UIC Forum. I should mention that it's at the UIC Forum. And I should also mention that the website for more information is Good Food Festivals, with an S on the end, goodfoodfestivals.com. And day two is the Good Food Trade, School, Food, Producer, Policy stuff. includes regional and national leaders in food policy, production, and advocacy. And I see that you're involved in a program called Scaling Up Local Meat. You'll be there, and Gunthorpe Farms will be represented in Slagle Family Farm and the Butcher and Larder, White Oak Pastures. What do you hope to accomplish on that panel?
Oh, well, I was just honored, you know, to be asked to be on it, and I don't have an agenda, but I'm happy to talk about what we do and where we're going with it.
Well, I have to bring up one thing that I noticed. You guys have a connection to, and I'm not sure what it is, so maybe you could tell me, maybe it's not much at all, but the Band of Farmers, that sound familiar?
Yeah, so that is a group that we kind of like help cross-promote our CSA shares. So we're going to be, that's the CSA Pavilion. We're going to have information on our monthly and weekly CSA shares, which, in case listeners aren't familiar, that stands for, CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture, and it's sort of like a buying club, but you purchase a set amount to be picked up or delivered over a course of weeks or months, and the payment up front really helps us farmers be able to deal with the upfront expenses we have to deal with as far as feed for our animals and other investments to keep things going. So CSAs are really great, and if you haven't looked into them, I'd highly recommend it.
I think a lot of folks know about CSAs in terms of their vegetables that they purchase, but it's important to know that CSAs are also, you can get involved in a meat CSA, which is yours.
Yeah, our CSA is pretty cool. It's a fairly small program, and we really listen to what our customers want and do our best to customize it as much as possible while it's still being a CSA. We have a ton of different options, anywhere from just lamb and goat or just pork and poultry once a month CSA shares to our weekly deliveries that include dairy from Kilgis Farmstead, and then meat and milk from our farm, from Mint Creek Farm. That's an assortment of what's been freshly butchered. We even offer home delivery. So that's pretty unique. And
yeah,
it's been very popular since we started offering it.
Well, that's interesting, because what I was going to ask earlier is, because you mentioned that you deliver to restaurants and co-ops in the Chicago area, but then you also deliver to individuals?
Yes, we do. We deliver CSAs to individuals, and you can also make a custom order of specific meat cuts and/or our organic eggs.
Wow, that's fantastic. Getting back to the Band of Farmers, I don't suppose you're involved in the talent show at all.
Oh, well, you can guess that it's the farmer poet that's probably going to be performing in the talent show. So, we had to do it we had to do the CSA Pavilion, if nothing else, so you could perform in the farmer talent show. So.
So the farmer poet will be involved in the farm. Yeah, and I was just looking at it because they have a Facebook page. If you're interested, it is, I believe it's just Band of Farmers on Facebook. If you want to see their information. And every year, or well, it's only been a couple of years, but I believe that there's a talent show coming up again this year that, let's see, where will that be? Is that the 28th or something like that? Yeah, third annual CSA Farmer Talent Show on March 28th at the Hideout.
Yeah, it's a really fun event. You'd be amazed at what good performers farmers can be. I don't know how there's time for it to have a hobby amidst everything, but I was really impressed with the performances and especially the general sense of humor. You got to have a sense of humor if you're going to do something like farming. So that was really fun last year.
Yeah, I would think so. So it's March 28th, Saturday. The doors open at 6 p.m. The show's at 7 p.m. It's at the Hideout in Chicago. And it's only $15. And if you want to see a bunch of farmers perform, that's how you would do it. Before I let you go, let me just remind folks that we're talking to Ray Akar from Mint Creek Farm. You guys have events on the farm, too. I was looking that I think you have one coming up, not too distant
future.
Yeah,
I wanted to make sure to mention that. We started this last year. We had an Easter at the farm event, and we're doing it again this year. So what it is a multi-course fancy brunch at the Greenhouse Bed and Breakfast, which is just a half mile away from our farm. We start there, and we have an excellent guest chef, guest chef from Home Bistro. That's Victor Morenz. He's going to be making the brunch. And he buys actually from our farm every week for his restaurant. So that's pretty cool that he's going to be coming out to the farm. And then after the brunch, there's a tour of all the different groups of animals. And this is the time of year for baby animals. So it's kind of perfect for Easter. There'll be lots of opportunities to see the baby lambs and baby cows, baby goats, and also an Easter egg hunt.
Oh, it sounds like a lot of fun. I'm going to have to stop by one of your tables because I noticed that you're at the Logan Square Farmers Market, and that's my neighborhood. So you guys are there every Sunday, I understand, during the summer.
We are, and they have an indoor market. The indoor season's actually almost over, but it goes to the end of March. Inside what used to be Pierre's Bakery, just south of Diversity and Kimball intersection on Milwaukee Avenue.
And I see you're at the 61st Street Indoor Market. And the Green City.
Yeah, we're there this Saturday.
Yeah, and then the outdoor markets, Evanston Downtown Market, Horner Park Market, 61st Street Market, Green City Market, Logan Square Market, Glenwood Sunday Market, and Wicker Park Bucktown Market. So that's quite a few places. Well, folks who are listening who live in the Chicago area can stop by. Rhea, thank you so much for talking to me. Have a great time at the Good Food Festival. I hope a lot of people find out about your operation.
Well, thank you so much for having me today.